Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Each and every one of you who think outside of the proverbial cage or box or whatever you consider it to be. So pleased to have you join the Power Hour today and to ask the question, what is my role? What is my mission? What can I do? Well, we'll be talking to Bev Harris in this next hour about the fraud in the election system. So if you think that you need to vote for the lesser of two evils, we'll find out from her. Freedom fighter, I'm sorry to have to tell you, Russell Means has been hospitalized in Arizona. The American Indian Movement co-founder and actor was hospitalized last week when he announced that his esophageal cancer is no longer in remission. The 72-year-old said he has learned that he has new cancer spots on August 20th. Initially diagnosed with esophageal cancer in the summer of 2011, he opted to forego the conventional Western methods of chemotherapy and radiation to treat the cancer, instead chose to fight it using methods more attuned to his Lakota spirituality, including prayer. Sources close to Means and his wife Pearl, who is originally from the Scottsdale area, say his lungs are failing and he is in terminal condition. How sad it is. What an incredible man. There's a 12-year-old girl. She is being hailed as a hero for shooting a home intruder. Kendra St. Clair from Oklahoma was home alone when she heard someone break in. She called her mother and asked what she should do, and her terrified mom told her to get the gun, hide in a closet, and stay there until she thought the coast was clear. Kendra explained, "When I saw the door handle turn, I shot him. I guess it went through the door, went through him, and went through the wall." The suspect, Stacy Jones, 32, was released from a hospital in Plano and is being held in a Collin County jail. The girl is probably alive today because her mother told her to get the gun. I guess there are those that would say she shouldn't have had a gun, or they shouldn't have had a gun, and she should have sacrificed her daughter. I guess there are those that might say that. International monitors at U.S. polling spots draw criticism from voter fraud groups. We're going to talk to our guest, Bev Harris, about that in the next hour. United Nations-affiliated election monitors from Europe and Central Asia will be at polling places around the U.S. looking for voter suppression activities by conservative groups. You can trust the United Nations. Not. The Romney family now owns your electronic vote, truth-out.org. Through a closely held equity fund called Solomir, Mitt Romney and his wife, son, and brother are major investors in an investment firm called HIG Capital. HIG, in turn, holds a majority share in 3 out of 5 board members in Hart InterCivic, a company that owns the notoriously faulty electronic voting machines that will count the ballots in swing states, Ohio, November 7th. Hart machines will also be used elsewhere in the U.S. Oh, I can hardly wait to talk to Bev Harris about these issues. And amazingly enough, according to Doug Weed, Romney still battles Ron Paul in New Jersey. The battle for the soul of the Republican Party is still ongoing. And if you doubt that, take a look at the Romney henchman in New Jersey, who is even now doing everything within his power to resist the involvement of grassroots Ron Paul people. Remember, the people running for the presidency are there because they are supposed to be there. Romney and Obama. Did you know that 40% of Americans have less than $500 in savings, living paycheck to paycheck, unfortunately? And there's an article about Marines facing before, during, and after situations. Before, during, and after in Afghanistan. Not a good situation. And there's a permit that has now been given for fracking near a nuclear plant. Chesapeake Energy has a permit to frack just 1 mile from the Beaver Valley nuclear power station in Shippingport. Oh boy.
You're listening to a special encore. of the Power Hour.
When it comes to experts in the field, there are those that have been there for us that many of you don't even know about. But since 2004, when she formed the organization, blackboxvoting.org, and the website, blackboxvoting.org, they're a nonprofit, nonpartisan election watchdog group in Washington State. They have been investigating election problems, communicating the problems to the citizenry, and teaching citizens how to manage their own government. Wow. This woman has been so involved in the voter fraud issue. I only wish everyone knew about the book that she's written called Black Box Voting, which you can see the chapters at her website, blackboxvoting.org. And the difference that she has made in this world, I got to tell you, is huge. Thank you so much, Bev Harris, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Well, good morning, Joyce. It's a pleasure to be here.
I cannot thank you enough, because you have been out there doing the kinds of work that most of us would never want to get involved in, trying to get information from the elections, trying to make sense out of all of this and let people know that these machines are rigged. What was it that tipped you over the edge, Bev, that said, I got to get involved in this?
Well, you know, I was going to spend 20 minutes on it back in 2002.
Really?
And yes, and I thought, I read an article and it said, you know, no one knows who owns the voting machine companies. And I thought, well, I'll just check, you know, I think I might be able to find out. Well, within 20 minutes, I found out that a United States senator who was running for office at the time, had owned a large chunk of the voting machine company that was counting 80% of his votes, and had not disclosed it on his personal financial disclosure documents. And so I started asking questions and looking for answers, and every single question you ask in the area of election transparency, the answer is the wrong answer. And so I got hooked, as have thousands of other people by now, because it is absolutely shocking how much we are being blocked from being able to authenticate anything about our own elections.
You know, what you just said is huge. That ought to be on the front page of every newspaper, above the fold, saying we cannot authenticate anything in our elections. But people believe that if they go in and get their little sticker that says, I voted today, that, oh, this country cares, and there would be a real honest election, because that's what we do, is go around the world and try to make honest elections with people with blue fingers after they vote. But nothing could be further from the truth.
Right. And what happened after I started exposing the fact that we weren't able to find out what's going on is a pretty strong PR effort went out toward diverting the message to saying we're worried about outsiders coming in and tampering with the election. It's not the outsiders, folks. It's the people with inside access. Duh. It's always been the people with inside access in elections. Why wouldn't it be? So when you're dealing with computers counting your vote, the insiders are programming it, and the insiders have access. And guess what? It's not an issue of security of the computer, which implies that somebody in his grandmother's basement is out there hacking away. It's an issue of you cannot secure a computer from its own administrator. So what happens when you transfer the counting and take it out of public view and put it in the hands of an administrator of a computer is you have the government choosing itself.
All right. Let me ask you just some pointed questions. Do you believe, as I do, and it doesn't, you know, I'm just asking for your input since you know this subject so well. Do you believe that we have Romney and Obama there because they are the ones that are supposed to be there?
Absolutely. No question about it.
Do you believe that the election has already been predetermined?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that, simply because I understand the mechanics of how you tamper, I think, really well. And it's not something you can just wave a magic wand and do it across the board. because there's still quite a patchwork of different systems and people in control throughout the U.S. There's 10,000 jurisdictions. However, I am very, very concerned about Romney's less than arm length relationship between him and Hart Intercivic, which is the second biggest voting machine company in the United States. If people remember watching the Ohio primary, Ron Paul was doing very well statewide. But what was interesting to me, and I knew the fix was in Hamilton County, because the minute you turned on the TV, CNN says, we've set up our headquarters here in Hamilton County, where we will, and of course, the last one to come in the evening was Hamilton County, and of course, it changed everything, and it flipped, and Romney won. Well, Hamilton County is Ohio's biggest Hart Intercivic.
Oh, really?
Yes. The other counties in Ohio mostly don't use Hart, but who knew? We didn't know at the time that Romney spinoffs and investment vehicles now own Hart Intercivic. Unbelievable.
Yes, it is. Now, then, from your perspective, how do you believe that the fraudulent voting system is being worked? How is it being done? How are they getting the results that they want from these machines?
Well, you have to understand it's still a messy process. There's four areas of attack, four vectors of attack. Who can vote, which is the voter list, or blocking people from voting or putting people on there who shouldn't be on there. Who did vote, which is ditching ballots from people who voted or adding others into the pool. That's a real problem with absentee voting systems. Then the counting of the vote is another attack sector, which is where the voting machines come in. And when all else fails, chain of custody, you simply move when the memory cards or the ballots are traveling from point A to B, you simply switch them and put in counterfeits. And all of those things are in play. It's not that, Romney and Obama are a team. They're not. You know, there's two conflicting factors. So there's definitely a competition going on. And it's whoever has the lack of ethics and access to the operatives to get the job done for their side.
So you're going to have bad guys on one side working with bad guys on another side to see who can hack the machines or create a problem that will eventually, be involved in their winning. But, I guess I would say.
I mean, I don't see Obama and Romney as being on the same team at all. So you're going to have people who favor Obama and people who favor Romney, using any and all of those vectors to the extent that their ethics and their access will allow.
But it's illegal to do that.
Oh, that doesn't. None of these guys follow the law. I mean, Romney voted in Massachusetts. He hasn't been a resident of Massachusetts for ages. None of them. They just ignore it. There's a company called Seidel that a lot's been written about, deeply involved in counting the military votes. They count the military votes in Florida. They have not even registered as a corporation in Florida, which is absolutely the law. But you go to Florida corporations, they're not there. You know why? Because that tells us who owns them when you can see the registration corporate papers. So they just didn't register. But they got these, $800,000 contracts from the state of Florida and its counties. These people don't care. Following the law is for the little guys.
So how far down the line do you think that these elections are corrupted? From the federal down to the local areas, do they corrupt all of the elections or just certain ones?
Well, you have to understand there's a lot of players, different players, and the mechanisms are different at the local level than at the higher level. So it's not like a they in terms of, a group of little guys, with remote control. But what it is that the voting machines are made to be open for business. So if you have your guy in place, whether you're the local sheriff or you're the president of the United States, and you have access in that elections jurisdiction, because one of the good things is it's still decentralized in the United States so that each jurisdiction does have some autonomous control. So if you have your guy in place in that particular strategic location and you're of that frame of mind, yes, you can do it.
All right. Then can we believe that anyone who is elected honestly in this country?
We shouldn't, unless we can authenticate it. I mean, you know, the big drumbeat you keep hearing is confidence in elections. We have to restore confidence in elections. Well, what is a confidence man? It's a guy who pulls the wool over your eyes. We don't need confidence in elections, and that's not what the founders arranged in the beginning. We need to be able to authenticate our elections. The public, not some, you know, government-selected board. And it's not that difficult to do. There, you know, you were mentioning earlier, what can folks do? If we have a chance, I'd like to tell you about a fisherman in California who did something absolutely stunning to allow the citizens in his election jurisdiction to authenticate the count. He persuaded his county to buy a regular document scanner off the shelf at Office Depot and put all the ballots through that as well as the voting machine and then just make copies available to the public. And guess what? They did it. The only cost involved was buying a document scanner. They're not that expensive. They bought a high-speed one. They scanned 170,000 ballots, put them on the web, and the first time they did that, the public found out that the voting machines did not count accurately.
Wow. I want to encourage you to get involved and support blackboxvoting.org. She does this, and I tell you, the yeoman's job that she does in having to get all these documents, it costs money, ladies and gentlemen. It costs money to get every page of documents that she gets. So please support them. Go to the website. You can support and donate them. Donate to them at blackboxvoting.org. Check out the website. You'll see the incredible work that she's been doing for many, many years. And she has stayed on top of this issue, which, like she said, she's going to give it 20 minutes and that was it. And now it's been since, what, 2004 that she's been doing this incredible good work for all of us. So please support blackboxvoting.org. Now, you were talking about the fraud that occurred. Go ahead and finish that, and then I want to ask you why you call it black box voting.
Well, actually, those two things tie in. Black box is a reference to a system where you can't see inside it. If you look at the military project, a black box project is one where the public is not really allowed to know. Even the employees don't necessarily know what they're working on. Black box testing with computers is such that you can't look at the programming. You can only look at the output. So black box voting is simply faith-based voting where you simply stick your ballot in, and even the people who test and examine the systems aren't really allowed to know what the programming does and how it works.
Interesting. You know, there's one question I want to ask you, and that is, from what all you know about the voting system, about the the fraudulent voting system, what happened with Ron Paul in this last election is just, I mean, if anybody didn't think there was fraudulent voting, I mean, they have to know after seeing what happened to Ron Paul. Are you going to vote this year?
You know, I really debated about that. I really did. But in the end, when you vote, you are putting evidence into the pool, and that evidence is the only way to have any hope of catching fraud. You're not going to catch fraud if there's no evidence. So, you know, there's things you can do, and I will be doing, such as casting votes for very minor candidates in some races that are unlikely to get hardly any votes, and then going and seeing if those votes showed up, you know. Different things like that. But another reason is because I know And by the way, this is something that is very much affects the Ron Paul voters, I think. We've now been able to prove that they are collecting information, tying back to your ballot and how you voted, and that is being harvested and kept in databases. So if you voted for Ron Paul, they want to know that. I don't know what they're doing with that information, but they are. Now, what in my state, we're in this forced absentee mode where you can't even go to the polls anymore. So,
what do you mean? Wait a minute. You can't even go to the polls anymore?
No. In Washington state, it's now like Oregon, where it's all absentee. So,
wow.
And the absentee voting, they're really harvesting it. So, for example, in the household I was that I've been living in, there's been three people. And so that's three ballots. There should be nothing different between my ballot and the next guy's ballot and the next person's ballot, right?
Right.
Each ballot, and I've photographed this, has a unique dot matrix identifier. That dot matrix then ties back to our voter ID number. So then the machines you run them through, and particularly the Hardiner Civic machines, but several of the machines, they capture an automatic scan of every ballot and retain it in memory. So they've got photocopies, in essence, of every ballot. They retain that in memory and translate that into their data set. So what they're translating is not just the votes, but it's that identifier that says who cast the vote by name. And it's actually by voter ID number, but voter ID number ties right back to your name. That is so disturbing to me that was another reason I just didn't want to vote. But, I'm just going to. And by the way, whether you vote or not, you can definitely still take actions to restore transparency in the vote. I totally understand the feeling of why should I vote. The other thing, though, is that not all races are tampered with. And also, in many cases, you can overrun it. There still needs to be some amount of plausibility. And so if a candidate gets so many votes and so much support that it's completely ridiculous that the other guy would win, they're not going to necessarily tamper with that.
Okay. Right. We've got a three-minute break. When we come back, I'm going to tell the listeners the most shocking thing you told me last night that I still cannot believe. We'll be back. Three-minute break. This is Joyce Riley.
You're listening to a special encore of The Power Hour.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat New Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It is 33 minutes after the hour, wherever you're sitting, and thank you for supporting the Power Mall. You see, it's all about buying from the good guys. If we support each other, just like Bev Harris is saying here, doing the next right and honorable thing, whether it's the election or whether it is who you purchase from. If you purchase from the good guys, then we keep them in business. If you purchase from the bad guys, you keep them in business. Bev, the one thing that you said last night that I could not believe, I mean, I don't know where I've been, but you said there is a new law regarding the paper ballots. Explain the new law. It is against the law for a human being to look at paper ballots. Tell me this is a joke.
Well, it's state by state. So, you know, because elections are run by the state. But, for example, in my state, Washington State, they didn't even put it, they really hid it in the election code. They simply changed the definition of what a ballot is, and then it put it into a category of documents that are exempt from right to know law or freedom of information law. So when, it used to be in Washington State, you could go and look at the ballots. Not anymore. You can't go look at them. They are now exempt from right to know. New Hampshire did the same thing. Very kind of sneaky legislation. They tucked it into an amendment, and it was just really, really bogus how it got in there. But in 2003, quietly, they decided to exempt ballots from right to know. Now, if you recall, after the 2000 election in Florida, a news consortium went and finally did look at all the ballots and count them. But in Florida, well, first then they decided, let's go to touchscreens with no ballot. Well, that got overturned by the citizenry, and so they've now got paper ballots again in Florida. But accompanying that, they said only the voting machines can count the ballots. Under no circumstances, even in a recount, can human beings count the ballots.
Mm. I can't even conceive that anybody would find a reason to put that into any rules, regulations, codes, or laws.
Exactly. I just call it a corruption protection law.
Yes.
What possible good reason. Now, get this. In Colorado, a candidate for mayor said, well, I want to look at the ballots in my own race. And in Colorado, they have a good right to know law. And so she, under the Freedom of Information, Open Records Act, she has to see them. They said no. She took them to court. The court said, the Supreme Court in Colorado said, absolutely, you can look at the ballots. So then they passed a law, and they said, well, they can people can only look at the ballots in Colorado. They can't ask for it for 45 days after the election, and they can only look at them after the clerk has gone through and taken some measures to make sure people can't see how people voted. And, well, in Colorado, it's unconstitutional to have a mark on the ballot showing how you voted. Well, so when this candidate for mayor, and by the way, blackboxvoting.org was a sponsor of the lawsuit, when she got the Supreme Court decision saying, yes, you can look at the ballots, the first 3,000 ballots she looked at, she was able to tie them right back to who voted them. So she was able to get... Well, she's got a court, another lawsuit going now to try to get those marks off the ballots for once and for all. In the meantime, there has been an emergency ruling in Colorado so that in this next election only, they're removing those identifiers from the ballot. But that's why they don't want you to look at the ballots, by the way, is because they know darn well that those ballots are identified back to the voters. And they believe, oh, and by the way, she's gotten a preliminary judgment in from the courts saying, there's no right to a secret ballot. It's just that the public can't see how you voted, but the government gets to see how you voted. So that's one of the things that Black Box Voting is involved in. And if you donate to Black Box Voting and tag it the Colorado Project, it'll go toward that appeal, saying, absolutely we have a right to a secret ballot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I mean, such corruption, people have no idea. Okay, but then they say, well, do the paper ballot thing. Get your paper ballot in advance and have it notarized or whatever. I mean, what kinds of things would be a possible answer or antidote for this situation? Is there anything that we can do?
Well, actually, you know, especially if you live in a smaller community, elections have been overturned by doing exactly what you said, where after the fact, you know, you have X number of people sign an affidavit, yes, I voted for so-and-so, and then if there's not that many votes, there was an election in New Jersey where they showed only 10 votes for one of the candidates, and 28 people came forward, signed affidavits, and said, we absolutely voted for this person. They actually overturned that election in New Hampshire in 2008 in the primary. Ron Paul was given zero votes in two different jurisdictions, and people stepped forward, signed affidavits, whole families, saying, you know, we voted for him. And then they went and, guess what, found those ballots. Oh, it was a mistake.
Oh,
I guess
no.
There were votes for him after all. So another thing you want to do is look for any race that has suspiciously low votes. Because that is actually something that can be done, is, look, prove that there's votes in there when they don't show up. That doesn't work as well in a large jurisdiction, but it works very well. There's a lot of small jurisdictions in the
U.S. Yes, there are. Now, okay, let me give you an example here. I live in a town of 2,500, and I'm sure that mm-hmm. the amount of people that vote for Ron Paul is going to be very small and will probably show up as a big, you know, goose egg zero in this local area. But if I want to do what you're talking about here and make sure my vote counts, what do I do from beginning to end so that I can challenge this if need be?
Well, it is a good idea if you are able to capture a photograph of your voted ballot, even if it's just on your cell phone at the polling place.
Okay.
And I do recommend voting at the polling place, not absentee, because you have no idea what happens to your ballot after absentee. But if, regardless of how you vote, it is a good idea to get evidence of that. And if enough people do that, that's real evidence. The one thing that has been so helpful with the Ron Paul people this last year is they've really followed the advice that we've been putting out on Black Box Voting. It's not good enough to have your say-so and say, well, look what I saw. You've got to get a photo or a video of it. And so they have been doing that. That's why the state of Iowa, which was originally called for Romney, was then reversed and called for Santorum, was because alert Ron Paul people were taking photographs and videotapes of the results that were announced locally and proved that that is not the same as what was announced when it came out in the final.
Okay, so I walk into my voting place and I get my ballot and I fill it out for Ron Paul or whomever I'm going to vote for, and then I capture a picture of it. Then what do I do?
Just keep it. And then if the result doesn't look right, you know, you can round up other folks. You know, now Ron Paul won't be on the ballot because
right. He'd be a write-in.
Do a write-in, right. You'd have to do a write-in. And bear in mind that write-ins, they don't put all the names on the result sheets that they publish. Unless the person was to win, they don't, because they get Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. There's like hundreds,
There's
hundreds and hundreds of different names. They can't do that. You could go and do an open records exam and ask to see the write-in names, but that's cumbersome. But that's why I say, you know, pick a minor candidate that nobody's voting for and get a group of three or four people or five or ten, you know, to vote for that person. Or better yet, you sort of know which candidates are the anointed candidates that they're just going to be ushered in because they're the ones folks the elite level want. If there's a kind of rowdy, you know, person that is pretty good, but you know that the powers that be don't want them, that's a great place to try this, is with that race.
Okay. But then later on, if I want to challenge it, do I go look at, ask under the Open Records Act, or what do I do? How do I proceed?
Oh, they release the results on election night, and 5 days later they have the certified results. And you say, I want to see in my precinct, you know, the detailed results. It's usually called the detail results list, precinct by precinct. And then you see how many votes there are. And if there's a 10 votes, for example, and you believe that there's going to be more than 10, I mean, I think it's a good idea if you're going to do this to round up, you know, a posse of people who will
sure.
be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then check and see if that many votes showed up. Because you'll be surprised how many times it didn't. Another thing you can do, again, I'm always shocked at how often this happens, is count. They announce the number of people who voted and the number of votes there are. Just match them up. Believe it or not, it is not uncommon to find thousands more votes than people who voted. Impossible numbers, we call that.
Uh-huh.
And that's another way. When I went to Memphis in 2010's primary election, there were 3,000 more votes than voters.
Wow.
Can you explain that?
Wow. That you don't have to know statistics and probability to figure that one out.
No, that's the great thing. You know, there's a grandmother in Illinois who makes this her job every election. I love this lady. She goes by the name Karen Smith on Facebook. And she just sits there and matches number to number and goes, oh, there's an impossible number here.
Oh, my goodness.
There's an impossible number here. It's so, you know, there are certain things, which, by the way, I have a toolkit 2008. It's the same as the tool, you know, 2012. Nothing's changed since 2008 in terms of what to do. That's linked on our website. And it talks about some of those simple numbers that you can just match up. And if, you know, you find impossible numbers, and impossible numbers overturn elections, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that really does. You've got to be able to explain, if the candidate goes into court, how there were more votes than voters.
Okay, now let me go to another issue, and I got callers that are lined up here to talk to you, but CBS News affiliate called the 2012 presidential race for Barack Obama weeks ahead of the election. Did you hear about that, where it showed on TV who had won the election?
Interesting. Well, see, now the key will be, is that the result in the final?
Yeah. I bet you they can guarantee it won't be.
But quite often, pretty much every election, this kind of thing gets reported to me. And pretty much every election, it doesn't match at all what finally happens. And they say they were testing their system, which they probably were, you know, with dummy data. But I don't see why they couldn't just put in, you know, names like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, not the real
yeah.
ones. But I actually have looked at these things in the past, and they never seem to actually match their final. Now, if it matches, in the mid-90s, the Collier brothers, who wrote the book Vote Scam, they actually saw TV, you know, running the actual numbers ahead of time, and those numbers did match.
Wow.
Which caused them to investigate and write the book.
Yeah, so, they deserve a lot of credit, and also I want to give credit to Susan Pynchon of Florida Fair Elections Coalition also for an amazing job.
She's awesome. I love Susan Pynchon.
Yes.
And Nancy Tobey of New Hampshire. You talked about what can people do. Let me tell you what Nancy Tobey did. She went and used home rule in her town of Lyndeboro. And by the way, there's 80,000 towns and municipalities that have home rule. She put together a warrant and they had a town meeting where people could vote on new warrants because it's not a real big location. And her warrant said, the public needs to be able to see and authenticate every aspect of major aspect of elections, including the count. They have effectively banned voting machines in Lyndeboro, New Hampshire until they'd have to overturn the warrant. So she used home rule to get rid of the, you know, ability to have voting machines. Just went in and quietly, with no fanfare, got a bunch of her friends together, went to town meeting, put forth a warrant and voted on it and got it through.
Wow.
So people can do things. It's amazing what people can do.
Yes, they can.
And their creativity, the one thing when you have an elite power structure that they always underestimate the resolve and creativity of the general populace.
That's right. And Hacking Democracy is an incredible DVD. Thank you, Phil, for reminding me of that. Phil in Florida for Hacking Democracy. Let me go to Fred in PA. Fred, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, with our guest today, Bev Harris.
Hi. I want to know about the use of congressional districts rather than counties in the framing or the tabulation of votes. Because I called you, Bev, in Washington a few years ago and discovered that a channel, a broadcast TV channel in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, had discovered that there was going to be congressional districts used in the 2008 election, not counties as the jurisdiction for counting votes, and that there would be no involvement of the county from then on in formal involvement in counting votes, that it would be done by the media consortium, NEP.
Bev, do you have anything in response to what Fred said?
Well, yeah, he's kind of confusing NEP with the county mechanism itself. NEP is the National Election Pool, and I'm glad he brought this up. You know, you watch TV on election night and all the networks pretend they're competing.
Yes.
And they're, our analysts, they're not competing. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact. Since the 1990s, they have all hired a single firm to do all of the exit polling and create all of their statistics and tell them what's going on. So they're all using the identical numbers. That's thing one. What NEP does is it supposedly does exit polls, and then it has people, it pays to a quasi-governmental agency called the Clerks Association. It pays the county clerks to call in the results. However, they announce results before a single vote is counted.
What?
And this election, yeah. Time it. You watch it, and you go, okay, on TV they'll say, and now the polls have just closed in North Carolina, and so now we're calling North Carolina for such and such. Well, I can tell you, because I've been there, you cannot count the votes. Even the voting machine tape does not spit out for about 20 minutes after the polls close, because the poll workers have to fill out paperwork and stuff and then put through these ender things. And so when they're announcing it, 60 seconds after the polls close, they're not announcing it from the votes that were cast at all. Not a single vote has been counted. The only thing that they could be using is what is these exit polls. Well, the NEP has announced, this is really disturbing, that this election they've decided they can't afford to do exit polls in 19 states. Get this. Every major TV network in the United States is paying them. They can't afford to do exit polls in Oklahoma.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you believe that? Come on.
No, absolutely not.
It's ridiculous. Of course they can afford it. So 19 states, some of them swing states like Tennessee, are not going to get exit polls, which means they're not going to be any data to refute any result that comes out. And I don't know, I'm very curious. I think we should sit there with stopwatches and watch TV and have them and see what in the world, how in the world they're going to call these 19 states with no exit poll data.
Absolutely.
If they do it in 60 seconds, I have to say that would be evidence that the
yes.
fix is in. Because I can tell you they cannot get votes out of the voting machines for 20 minutes, and usually there's straggling voting machines that take until 10:30 to come in because of whatever reason. You know, they have a bad memory card or whatever, or they're fixing it or whatever. So it's really, really interesting. Now, when he talks about districts versus counties, the counties are the ones who are administering the paperwork in the election, and the national election pool is it, but he's right. The networks are not using that county data. They're using the national election pool data, not the county data. So he's right about that. They're not using the real vote. They're just calling it based on this NEP firm's projection.
Okay, let me go to Jim in Nebraska. I mean, these are, you know, they are neck and neck all the time, 46, 45, 47, 45. I mean, does anybody believe, though, that we are so neck? That is only to keep people in this game of red versus blue and left versus right and all this. That's only to keep people in the game because people are so bored with this whole thing. They don't want to watch another debate. They don't want to see another ad. I mean, it's all so...
It's not even a debate. I mean, why do they even call it a debate?
Yeah.
It's a performance.
It's a speech. They give their speeches. They're given the questions ahead of time. So, okay, let's go to Jim in Nebraska. Jim in Nebraska, you're on the air with Beverly Harris.
Right, Joyce. The report was that the county would not be in the loop for tabulating votes, that it would be by congressional district. And when I called you, Bev, you said that you had discovered that independently, as well as a woman who reported to you had discovered that independently. And that makes it impossible for anyone to really authenticate anything.
Okay, do you have a question from that, or is that what you wanted to say?
That is an important change that you know about it, I know about it. Everyone should know that.
Well, I don't agree. I don't agree with that. The results still are coming out of the county. And the counties even use different voting machines. From the congressional districts sometimes span multiple counties, but and especially in Pennsylvania, the counties don't even use the same voting machines. And so I guess I have to say I don't necessarily agree with that. The news sometimes gets it wrong.
Okay. You know? All right. Thank you very much for that. Let me go to Jim in Nebraska. Jim, thanks for holding. You're on with Beverly Harris. Go ahead, please, Jim.
I have a personal story to tell you about the county elections here in Nebraska. On the recent county commissioner election, we had a person that was is noted in the area for his honesty, integrity, and responsibility. A number of us organized to vote for this person as a write-in. On the final tally, well, I'll back up a little bit. The existing county commissioner lacked all of those attributes. And in the final tally, not one vote showed up on the vote tally. Not one.
Wow.
Zero.
Okay.
And In a similar county, I had occasion to talk to a precinct person who counted the votes. I just asked them casually, what happens to the write-in votes that on the ballot? What happens to those? Where do they go? And this person just right in my face just said, oh, we don't count them.
He's correct. The write-in votes exist, but they do not report them. Sometimes you will see it. You can request this. You can say, you can get the quantity of write-ins, but they'll say, well, you had 20 write-ins, but they don't say who it's for. You have to actually go visit the office and look to see what the names of them are. They are, but he's right. They don't count them if they feel it, like if they say there's not enough write-ins to make a difference, they don't necessarily count them, and they don't report them by name. And in some places, they just don't report them, although you can get that report if you request it. And that would be a good thing to see if they will do, is give you the report with all the names of all the write-ins, because they do have that. The voting machines retain that.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Jim, what about voting for a third party? Your thoughts on that?
Oh, vote for who you think is the best in every situation. Never say I'm going to discard my vote by voting for someone I think can't win. You know, our whole system is based on voting who we think is best, and that's what we should be doing.
Okay, and I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I believe that we've got to vote our conscience regardless, we have to do the right thing. We cannot compromise. Bev, I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing. It is amazing the amount of energy you've put toward this subject that most people would never want to do. Now, when people donate to Black Box Voting, what are they donating for, and what's going to happen with that money?
Well, the main thing is travel and public work. It costs not only for page by page, but some states charge you for the time it takes for them to look for the records. And so, and records are where it's at. I just mentioned earlier, I said, you know, if you've got more votes than voters, the only way you're going to know that is if you get the record. So that's one of the key things. And it generally costs us about $50,000 to get records for a major national election.
You're
and
kidding.
Travel. Based on what we find with that, we got to go places. We're in the field.
Unbelievable, listeners. Hoops that they put people through. Thank you so much, Bev Harris, for joining us in the Power Hour today. Amazing hour. Thank you so much for all your good work.
Thank you, Joyce.
You bet.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease, it's just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.